you're a believer in this place,
declare.
And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore.
Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Worthy is your name, Lord Jesus. Father, we exalt you. We magnify you. Everlasting Father. You're worthy, O God, of our worship and our adoration. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are the God who keeps us, the God who establishes us, the God who's made covenant with your people and will never fail. Oh, we worship you. Thank you for the privilege granted us to come into your presence boldly because of the work of the cross, because of the work of resurrection. Thank you, Lord, O God, that peace garrisons our hearts. And the Lord, O God, we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for this moment, for this now, sanctified, O God, unto you. This day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. Father, we worship you. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that you're reaching your people wherever they are this very moment. Whether they are, O God, there in Africa, in East and Western Europe, in the subcontinent of India. Lord, whether they be in North or South America, whether they be in Australia, New Zealand, here in Canada, Father, wherever your people are, hearing our voice, Lord God Almighty, touch them, heal, deliver, set free. Thank you, Lord, O God, for ears that are open to hear and for faith released into our innermost being. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural eyesight and for a tongue that extols you and glorifies you and speaks prophetically that which is, that which will always be, the established word of truth, the manifestation of the glory of God. We give you praise for all things, and we thank you that you hear us. And not only do you hear us, you do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you to this wonderful time in the presence of God. The Lord is good. He is forever faithful. He's a God who's loved you and I with an everlasting love. Many years ago, I shared a word with us, and it was very simple. I encourage us to remember these words: I am called. I am chosen of God. I have a purpose, and I have a destiny. God, who has called you, chosen you, the God who has given you a future, a life of purpose and destiny, may he bring to pass speedily everything he has for you and for me. I made up a word not too long ago, speedify. Today I'm asking God to speedify. Do it, Lord, for your glory and your honor, and for the benefit of your people everywhere. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mama is going to come at this time and lead us further into our time of intercession, praise, worship, and adoration. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Good day, everybody. Wow. Praise the Lord. Please turn on the lights. I know we don't have people here, but put the lights on. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, I know you are all in your home. We sure missed you here at church. But it is what it is. God willing, it will soon expire. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, gather your family together and let's pray together. Welcome the presence of the Lord. He is here. He was here before we came, and he is here. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And where two or three are gathered in his name, the Lord is there. So he is here in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this is a day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. A day of salvation, peace, love, power, and a sound mind. This day, we turn our hearts to you. We do not look at the things that chased and hurt us all through the week, but we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our hope and our trust is in you. And Lord God, this is a brand new day, a day of rejoicing, a day of strength, a day of healing, a day of deliverance, a day of wholeness, a day of joy, a day of peace, a day of joy unspeakable. Father, where there has been weakness, let there be strength in the lives of all your children. Your word says, let the weak say, I'm strong. And let the poor say, I'm rich. And let the feeble say, I am very strong. I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm blessed. And let the confession of our mouth begin to change now. Wherever you are at home now, begin to lift up your voice and bless the name of the living God, that he has given you a brand new day, that you lived to see today. Many did not see today. Many are not even living in this hour, in this second. But you have the life of God flowing in you, and your days have been extended. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the breath of life. Many are struggling right now to breathe, and we are breathing freely. So, Lord, help your people. Those that are struggling, those that are sick, we declare healing over them. Be healed, be restored, be made whole. Then those that have troubled mind, we speak peace to their mind in the mighty name of Jesus. And those who have no hope, receive hope. Hope, hope, hope. Bible says a hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it is found, it becomes the tree of life. May life flow into them now. Life, life, life. Somebody begin to say, I receive life. I receive life. I receive life. I receive life. I receive life in the name of Jesus. When you have life, death cannot exist. Sickness and disease cannot exist. Somebody say, I receive life in the name of Jesus. The two of them cannot be in the same place. So life has come to occupy me now. The life of Jesus occupy me now. Say that in your home. The life of Jesus occupies me now. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, me and my household, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Almighty God, that you've come to give us life and life in abundance. And this is the realm where we stay. We live and breathe and eat and live in this realm. The life of the good shepherd that causes us not to want. This is the life where we are. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that where you are? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. 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 He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul for his name's sake. Yea, my goodness, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Hallelujah, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If this is what you believe this morning, say big amen. And so shall it be for you and your family. This word now overrides everything. Overrides everything contrary to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, goes forth now and begin to walk for you. Walk for you and your family. And begin to cut down anything that stands against the knowledge of God. Every wicked imagination, every thought, every idea, every picture, every word, every condemnation word, every defeating word, every defeating thing, they are now condemned and cut off and brought to nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus, on behalf of you and your family, in Jesus' name, the counsel of the Lord, the words of the Lord, his thoughts, his higher thoughts, his higher ways, are now infusing me and you and your family and our entire household. So shall it be for Glory and Peace Family Church. So shall it be for my biological family. extended family, spiritual children, biological children, partners all over the world, extended families. So shall it be for every one of us from age 120 plus years to zero, to those in seed form, those still in the womb, every single one, every aspect of life, the plans and purposes of God shall be established in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that our destiny is being fulfilled by your word and nothing else. Father, have your way in this service this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Infuse us, move in us, out of us, and upon us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to read a scripture, John 15. I won't read all of it. We'll read as far as a little bit, and you can finish the rest on your own. John chapter 15. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The true vine of your life is Jesus Christ. God is the husbandman, is the farmer, is the one that tills the soil, that prunes it, that makes sure everything works. And the plant that is going to grow out of that garden that the Lord is planting is the Lord. So we are in him. May God be the one that takes care of our life 100%. In the name of Jesus, Father and Son, have your way in our lives. And Holy Spirit, direct us to where he can take care of us completely. In Jesus' name. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we must be in him. If you are not in him, get back in him. In the name of Jesus, if it's sin or anything that has driven you away from the presence of the Lord, you can just say, Lord, I surrender and I get back. I'm in Christ and Christ in me. Can you say that? I am in Jesus and Jesus is in me. So you are back again in the fold. Say amen. Every branch in me. So I am a branch in Jesus. So I'm going to be a fruitful one. I'm not going to be the one that is not bringing forth any fruit. I shall not be taken away or cut away. Say amen. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Yes, you do want purging so that your fruit will be greater and stronger. But you do not want that branch completely severed off. Once it's cut off, there's no more hope for that plant, you know. So except you have to quickly go and graft it and replant. So it's like starting all over. May your life not be continuously being the one that starts over. May you grow and grow in the name of Jesus. Starting over is okay, but it's better you continue to grow so you mature. Say amen. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. So we know the word of God cleanses us. Amen. So you are clean, no matter what you've been going through, as soon as you surrender to him, his word cleanses you. Say, Lord, clean me now by your word. Cleanse me now by your word. Abide in me and I in you. Verse 4, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Fruitfulness comes from the Lord. Even though the word of the Lord says, be fruitful and multiply. You can only be fruitful and multiply in him. May you get back in him today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. May God help us. We do nothing without him. May you begin to do something in him. In the name of Jesus, We accomplish purpose when we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. May you not be the part that is burned. May you be fruitful and continue to be relevant in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So it benefits me to abide in the Lord. When I'm in him, when I speak and I say and I ask, he responds to me because we have become one. The flow is there. Say amen. Verse 8, hearing is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. It's not God's will that we don't bear fruit. It's God's will that we bear fruit. So from now on, say, I will be fruitful. I will abide in Jesus. Jesus, say, abide in me. When you abide in Jesus, Jesus says, me and God, we are one. So when you abide in Jesus, you are abiding in God. Say amen. And you will bear fruit. Say, I'm fruitful. Just read a few more and then we're going to finish up our prayer. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Hallelujah. God has loved us. He has given us his love. He said we must continue in that love. So you don't just say, I've received God's love and that's the end. No, continue. The continuation of your love shows that you're an obedient person. You obey God and you do things God's way. When you are not doing things God's way, you are not abiding in his love. Say, if you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love. So those who do not keep his commandment, they don't abide. Even though the love is given to them, they are not connected. They are severed off. May you remain in that branch. May your source be Jesus and the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say abiding is everlasting love. That means do not disconnect yourself. Somebody say I'm connected. Hallelujah. You're connected to Jesus. Jesus is connected to God. So you are connected. He's your God and your Father. Hallelujah. So abiding to bear fruit and obeying his, walking in his love continuously and obeying his word. Those are the three things. And he said, keep his commandments. So you don't get to play with it. Today you keep it, tomorrow you don't. Keep it all the time. Verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be what? Be full. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to stop in verse 12. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13 is really great, but you can continue the rest of it. Hallelujah. So verse 13 says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So selfishness is not in the kingdom of God. Abiding in love means that you are not a selfish person. Be willing to give. Give your life. Jesus gave his life for us. Say amen. All right. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, God, that as your word we have heard, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have read your word. We have, our hearing has heard it. The sound has gone into our system and has gone around everything concerning our lives, has gone even unto the ends of the earth. Father, let that the word of the Lord reign supremely and flow supremely and act supremely over our life. Override every rubbish from our life. Let our lives magnify your holy name. Let your agape love be what is moving in our heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, remove every selfishness, every disconnection from our life, that we are truly connected to you. The true vine. I am the true vine. No other vine. We're connected to you, Jesus. We are the branch that stays in you. We grew out of you and we remain in you. Let your fruitfulness abide in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your word says, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will come and make their abode with us. So, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we invite you to make your abode in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of disobedience and rebellion, live our lives. That we are obedient children of the living God. We obey your word and we trust your word. That the fruitfulness of your blessings will manifest themselves in our lives and in our families. Lord, now we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace within her walls and her palaces. We pray for Israel. We pray, O God, for all the situation going on there right now. We speak your shalom, your shalom, your shalom in the mighty name of Jesus. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, save your people, protect your people, and Lord, have your way in that land. They continue to call upon the name of the Lord, that all Israel shall be saved in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember your everlasting covenant, and Lord, we pray now for the peace of all the nations, that you will touch your people, Lord. Pray for peace for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, the islands of the sea, and all the nations of the earth, that you will touch our nations, that they begin to turn back to you instead of turning away from you. For righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is the reproach. Father, deliver us from all evil. Be in the service today. Those that are sick, hearing the sound of my voice, we've declared healing over them, that what is wrong with their body will begin to leave. Every seed and every planting of the enemy is uprooted out of their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare them healed from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Be healed, be restored, be made whole. Every part of your system is working and functioning right. We receive strength of the Lord. Healing is the children's meat, and we eat out of that meat now. Father, let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth. Bless our time of giving, our time of receiving your word, the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, and those who receive your word, and those who celebrate your word, and those who publish your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Once again, we want to welcome everyone to this very special time in the presence of the Lord. The theme throughout this year is about the covenant of God. God establishing his covenant. And we've talked about some things about the covenant. We talked about the God who made the covenant and to whom he made the covenant. And today we want to go a little bit further on this particular subject. I do want us all to grasp this, that this is not about studying something for information, but rather bringing us into an awareness of what it is that we have in our toolbox, what we have given to us by God. And I want to start this morning from a strange place. I want to start from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. There is a covenant statement made here, and that many times we are not cognizant of. I'm going to call it the Adamic covenant. And this covenant is the promise of God to the first man and the first woman. Let us take it from Genesis chapter 3. This is a passage of scripture that talks about the fall. And the covenant basically is about a response of God to the failings and the fall of man. Starting from verse 6, the Bible tells us very specifically, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good," this was the object that brought about their failing. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, let's understand something here. I know it's not in line with the main theme of covenant, but let's understand that it wasn't a bad thing that caused the man or the woman to fail. It was something that was good. The Bible says the tree was good for food. And it says that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. A tree to be desired to make one wise. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with any of that other than the fact that God said, don't eat of that tree. And that the enemy came and deceived them. You see, what makes you and I trip isn't necessarily bad stuff. It's that good stuff, that desirable stuff, that thing that is going to make you smarter and wiser and whatever else. Most times, that's what causes the problem. And that's still the thing that causes us not to walk as covenant people. What I can do in my own strength and my own ability. Still the same problem. Anyhow, let's go further. It says, "And the eyes of them both were opened." Their eyes were opened. "And they knew that they were naked." When their eyes got opened, they recognized that they were naked. A sense of inadequacy comes about when you're eating the wrong stuff. When you're eating that which God has instructed you to eat, you remain covered. And the covenant of God to you and I is to bring about a covering so we can walk boldly. It says, "And they sewed fig leaves." That was their response. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. That's a key statement. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice walking. Do you know that your tongue and your words walk? Yeah. The Bible says that even the tongue of the evil, evil people, wicked people, go around walking. It is part of who you are. Your voice, your words walk. And they do things. Anyway, let's leave that alone for a moment. The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know, the first thing that happens with people when they are living in sin is that they think they can hide from God who can see all things. Now, the God who sees all things knows about your situation and knows and has an answer for it. Anyway, let's go on. In the presence of the Lord, they were hiding from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They thought they could be camouflaged. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" When God asked that question, "Where are you? Where art thou?" It was not because God didn't know where he was. He wanted the man to identify where he was. "Where are you? What do you see now?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Where are you, Adam? That's a statement that has geographical implications. But his response was not about the geographical spot where he was. His response was about himself. Because your sense of where you are is located in your sense of who you are. The sense, your sense of where you are is located in your sense of who you are. What you see of yourself, what you see of yourself determines where you are. If you see yourself as a nobody, you will live in the realm of nobodies. Never forget that. Still, that's not where we are going. The Bible says, and he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told you that? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? What I told you not to mess around with? Because the only reason why you will begin to identify yourself differently from what I have made you to be is if you've been eating the wrong food. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Accusation. God, can you imagine the man is accusing two people at the same time? You're accusing God. God, you gave me this woman, and the woman made me eat it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat it. It's the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You're going to eat dust. And verse 15. This is, right here, the first step to the covenant. He said, now put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was a precursor declaring that which is to be. When Jesus, our Lord, who is the fulfillment of the covenant, was to come. God made a statement. And from this particular statement, he is going to start building systematically everything until Jesus, our Lord, came, took care of the situation, and following up until this moment for eternity. I'm putting enmity between you and the woman. And between your seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, things are going in the wrong direction. But within this concept, God is building up something. He's working on something right away. He's just telling them about the consequences of their actions. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be working so hard. Woman, you are going to be, you're going to give birth, but you're going to go through sorrow to give birth. And man, you're going to be working so hard, and the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles for you. But that was not God's plan for them. God is going to turn all of this around. He says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. I took you out of the ground. And for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. You're going to return to dust. You came, he says, remember, for dust thou art. Now, what did God say about the serpent? He says, you're going to eat dust. You're going to crawl on the ground, and you're going to eat dust. Now, all the enemy is doing is busy eating up people. But what God wants to do is to reverse that. That is part of the reason why you are born again. So that you are not of the flesh, but of the spirit. So that you are not consumable by the serpent. Those that do not have God are subject to the control and the influence of the one that they have been assigned to for food. But that's not you, because you're born of the Spirit of God. It's a covenant commitment of God. Let's go on. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Adam called his wife's name Eve. Now, that is an important statement. Because when he called her Eve, he separated her from what it is that was about to happen to mankind. He called her name Eve, or life giver. The woman was called a life giver because she was the mother of all living. She was the mother of all living. Wait a minute. It's just two of them. What do they know about children? They've never seen a child born. The grace of God upon Adam, even though he had sinned, was still speaking prophetically. You and I don't need to live in a realm where we place judgment on our lives and cut off from the proclamation of the blessing. Called her Eve. And watch this. Watch what's going to happen. It says, unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, if he made coats of skins, he must have done something that meant the death of a particular animal, to skin that animal. Blood was shed. Why? For their covering. These were the beginnings of the covenant, and these became the beginnings of how and why God called for blood sacrifices. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But it's going to get better. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. God said, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. What was God saying? All the man had known till this time was good. He did not know evil. All the man knew was good, not evil. God had known good and evil. Evil because Satan rebelled. That which God had created had rebelled against God. But all God wanted man to know was good and not rebellion. Was good and not evil. I hope you're following with me. He says, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever in that state of knowing good and evil, he drives them out. Watch this. Therefore the Lord God sent him. Therefore the Lord God sent what? Him. The Lord God sent him. Watch that statement. The Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. To till the ground from where he was taken. The Lord God sent him. The Lord God sent him. So he drove out the man. The Lord God sent him and drove out the man. He drove out the man. He did not drive out the woman. He drove out the man, not the woman. So the woman still had access. He drove him, not her. Drove out the man, not the woman. Why is that important? Because God is looking beyond the circumstance, and this is what every one of us need to understand, that whenever you're dealing with something, don't just look at the here and now of your actions. Look at the consequences of what is going to happen down the line. And God knew, I'm going to need this woman down the line. If I'm going to need this woman down the line to bring about what I need to get done to eradicate whatever the enemy has done, I've got to give her access to find me, to come to me. I know you've not thought about these things before, but he did. He found a woman called Mary. And through Mary, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman. You see, God did not say the seed of the man. He said the seed of the woman. Because he is bringing about a miraculous experience down the line. Women don't carry seeds. Man carries seed. But God says, there is a seed of the woman. Guess what? In Mary was that seed. And God had placed it there, and he overshadowed that thing that shall be found in you. And that seed became the one we call Yeshua. That is a miracle. God was pronouncing miracles and declaring impossibilities into place. Do you know what the covenant does? The covenant brings you and I to the place where we call those things which be not. That which seems to be impossible, that which cannot be defined by natural rules and laws, declaring it. Your life, my life, as God's people, is not going to be defined by the mandates of men, but by the declarations of faith through the power of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. The God of the turnaround is bringing about an overriding of every law that the enemy thinks will impede the glory of God. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ do? He was the very manifestation of that seed. And what is he doing? He's walking on water. He's turning water into wine. He's putting mud in people's eyes and they are seeing. He's breaking the law of death and the grave. He's riding on a cloud and ascending. The lawbreaker. Because of the covenant power of God. That same covenant power is embedded in you and I so that we can reign and rule by the authority of the word of God in this last of the last days. It is not the laws of man that control us. It is the awesome, overwhelming power of God that overrides every circumstance and says, light be. The God you and I serve is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God says to us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to take it from verse 12. Jeremiah 3, 12. You see, God who has called us to this place of great authority is empowering us to fulfill his mandate. Man, in a sense, backslid, stepped back from what God had for him. And the nation of Israel became a micro conception of the world, of all people. So when we look at Israel and how God dealt with Israel, we can see how God is dealing with the whole. God sent Jeremiah, the prophet, to the people of Israel. He says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel. That statement is to every one of us. Say the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful. Praise God. He says, I am merciful. He says, return, get back, so that my anger doesn't fall on you. I am merciful, said the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Praise the Lord. So there's a place for repentance. It says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, said the Lord. Just acknowledge that you've not been listening. That's all I need you to do. Turn, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you. He says, I'm married to you, and I'm not divorcing you. I'm married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I'll restore you, and I will give you, praise the Lord, I love this, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. We shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'm going to give you the right pastors. They're going to feed you with knowledge and feed you with understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied. When ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, said the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. What is he saying? He said, I'm going to bring you from the place where you are. I'm going to bring you pastors that are going to bring you knowledge and understanding so that you are not connected to things, stuff, rituals, here and there. You're not going to have to say the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind. Neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. Verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. I'm changing things. You see, the ark was a box. This was where God and his mercy seat was, and the cherubims were there touching each other. And tradition says that when the high priest came with a blood sacrifice and placed it on that mercy seat, that the cherubs were looking at each other. And when Israel was in trouble, these looked away from the mercy seat. And proof that whatever it is that had been shared on that mercy seat was accepted, they will turn around and look at each other. God says, I'm not just going to make that ark, which was my presence. No, I'm going to make the whole city my throne. Hallelujah. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. In other words, there's unity. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I've given for an inheritance unto your fathers. God is saying, I'm bringing about restoration. Somebody say restoration. Hallelujah. Now, this is God making a covenant. I'm going to bring about change. He tells us, later on, he says, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. My covenant word. I'm going to put it in your heart. You're going to embrace that word and you're going to live by it. Now, come with me to Jeremiah 31. Let's begin to move this ball a little bit faster. Jeremiah 31, I'm going to take it from verse 27. Jeremiah 31, 27. The word of God says to us here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast." In other words, God is saying, I'm going to sow this land. Just when you sow something, you're planting something. God says, I'm going to sow the land with the house of Israel. The word is the Hebrew word zarah. And basically what God is saying is, I'm going to disseminate, I'm going to fructify, I'm going to cause to bear or conceive seed. I'm going to bring my people to a place where they become the manifestation of something greater. And I believe God is speaking that same word to us right this very moment. Praise the Lord. God seeding us. And then he says, "And it shall come to pass that like as I have washed over them to pluck up and to break down, and to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, said the Lord." These are the declarations of God. God is saying something, but he already told Jeremiah the same thing in chapter 1. "I'm sending you to tear down." And in speaking about that, in Jeremiah 1, he was talking about the nations. Remember what we talked about, that Israel was a microconception of God that relates to the world. And so when we watch Israel, we can see what's going to happen to the rest of the world. You know, people will wonder, you know, "Oh, the people of Israel, the people of Israel, how could they have had COVID?" Well, because the rest of the world is going to get COVID. "Oh, the people of Israel, they're forcing people to get vaccinated and want passports, and you cannot buy or sell or do anything, because that's what's going to happen to the rest of the world." So when you want to see what's happening, what's going to happen to the rest of the world, watch Israel very closely. Watch that verse again, "And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over Israel to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict." Watch this statement of God in Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10. He says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down." And then to do what? To build and to plant. Is that not the same thing he just said to us in Jeremiah 31? Same thing. Jeremiah 31. And shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, and to destroy. And the next statement that we don't find in Jeremiah 1:10 is, and to afflict. We are going through the experience of affliction. But God says, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. To build and to plant. I believe that God is calling us to that place where we now will experience a building and a planting in the body of Christ all around the world. Glory be to God. 29. It says, in those days they shall say no more, thy fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. 30. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Mm-hmm. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Everybody will bear their own burden. You live this kind of a lifestyle, that's what you're going to get. It says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new what? Covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Specifically, that nation. But remember what we've been saying. When you look at what God is doing with Israel, see that that sampling is for what he wants to do with the world. Praise the Lord. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. I was a husband to them. I married you. Actually, in Isaiah 50, I believe it's verse 1 and 2, God says, show me the papers of divorcement. Show me. Show me the papers of divorcement that I divorced you. I'm your husband. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Of which, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves. You sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away. He says, whatever it is that's happening to you, you brought on yourself. So I don't point that finger at me. You brought it on yourself. You did it in the garden. You brought that on yourself. I was in the business of covering you, but you brought that off your own self. You were running away and hiding, and you know, hiding among the trees, you know, camouflaging yourself. You did that, not me. You were wrapping yourself with fig leaves. I covered you. And what is God basically saying to us? God is saying, listen, I'm not your enemy. You've been your own enemy. Now, disenemify yourself. I'm coming up with new words. Disenemify yourself. Stop being your own enemy. Adam, where are you? I'm naked. I didn't ask you about whether you are naked. I said, where are you? But the reality is, the perception of who you are also determines your geography. It determines, let's put it this way, as a man thinketh, so is he. And today I want you to understand that we've got a God who's made a covenant with us, and he's saying, listen, I'm going through this covenant by myself on your behalf. I'm taking all the blame. I'm taking all the mess, and I want you to receive all the blessing. Hallelujah. Shake yourself away from the condemnation that keeps one in bondage. Let me go through this real quickly because I want you to get something right here this morning. 34. Let's complete 33. Listen to this statement. It says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And you're not going to need somebody to come teach you this, say this to you. He says, but this shall be. He says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. You see, what man wants to do, what man wants to do is shut down the church. What man wants to do is make sure that you don't have a place of worship. But God says, I already saw that and I've already finished that because I'm going to write my laws into your heart. You're going to know what to do. You're not going to need this person to come tell you this or this person to come tell you that. He says, I got you covered because I'm going to give you pastors that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding so that you're going to come to that place where you know that 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 you know what the truth is because I've written it in your heart. You're not going to need any man to come say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Wow. That is the expression of the new covenant. Thus said the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day. I want you to notice that statement. God gives the sun for a light by day and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. 36, in those days depart from me. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Look at that. The Greeks, the original Greeks, are no longer here. The original Assyrians no longer here. The original Romans no longer here. But Israel remains. After being scattered, they still have their language. I've just left. How many years ago did I leave my home country? And now when I hear my own language that I used to understand a little bit, let's say 5%. Now when I hear the language, I say, what did they just say? What did they just say? Let me play that. Interesting. And I start guessing. There's no guessing with the Hebrew language. It's the Hebrew language. Way back then, it's still the same Hebrew language right now. It's still speaking the same language. The nation is still the nation. Because God kept it. And what is it that God is saying to us as a people all around the world? He's saying, listen, you may have stepped back from what used to be the church, relevant and thriving, turning the world upside down. He's saying to us, listen, I'm pushing the reset button and you're going to come back to where you are and exceed because I'm going to seed the land with people. He says, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. If I do not keep my word, then that will happen. It's not going to happen because I'm going to keep my word. Thus said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord. If you can measure the heavens, and if you can measure the foundations of the earth, then at that point, then I will have to cast the seed of Israel away. And basically what God is saying is, no matter how much you try to measure, you will not be able to measure this. You know why it cannot be measured? Even now, as you and I are talking, the word of God that was spoken keeps on going, and the universe is expanding as we talk, as we're speaking right this very moment. It's in a steady state of increase and expansion, because if it ever comes to an end, it will collapse. Just like you throw something up, and if it hits a peak, it has to come down. So it is. God's word is always forever increasing. Hallelujah. 38. It says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. 39. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about to Goat. 40. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate towards the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. In other words, God is saying, no matter how bad things got, I am going to reverse it, because I've made a covenant just like the day and the night. If you didn't get it there, let's go to chapter 32 or 33. Thus said the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken unto David, my servant. What is God saying? He says, I've made a covenant for day and for night. If you can ever stop day and stop night, then you can change my covenant that I made. Man cannot. Hallelujah. Man cannot say, okay, I'm stopping time. give your head a good shake. God is saying to us in his covenant with us as his people, I got your back. I have made a commitment that cannot be broken. If you can break it, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have his son to reign over upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. If you can stop day and stop night, then you'll be able to stop David from having his son on the throne. Then you'll be able to stop my Levites, my priests, my ministers. You can't stop day, you can't stop night, then you can't stop my ministers. You know, God is so committed to his covenant that when David's children messed up, he made himself the son of David. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying God is going to be whatever it is that he needs to be to keep his word. Yeah. When the people said, I'm not, stop them from praising you. He said, if they stop, even these stones are going to cry out. There's no stopping. God's name is going to be exalted. He's going to be worshipped and he's going to be adored. And no man is going to be able to stop the priest of the Lord, the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Hallelujah. 22. As the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. I'm going to minister the kings, and I'm going to minister the priests. God has made us a kingdom of kings and priests. Hallelujah. Nobody is able to stop the church. Chairman Mao tried to stop the Church of Jesus Christ, and the communists tried to stop the Church of Jesus Christ in China. And there's an explosion. There's more Christians in China than all the citizens of the United States, and that's an underground church. Come on, you gonna stop the church? Nero is trying to kill off all the Christians in the arenas, and while they're slaughtering believers and sending wild animals, lions and stuff to chew and chow down on them, people in the bleachers were getting saved. Rome could not stop the church. And you born yesterday, you think you can stop the church. Look at you. The devil's a liar. God is a God of covenant. And he establishes his covenant. And he is saying, don't be afraid. I am God. And I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your helper. I'm the one who's going to uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. All the devil is doing is making a lot of noise. A lot of noise. And he cannot stop you. He cannot stop your business. He cannot destroy your family. He cannot destroy your body. Child of God, arise in the authority of the word of God and recognize that you have been called by God. You have been chosen by God. You have a purpose and a destiny. You have a future. That 23. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, 24, considerest thou not what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord had chosen, he had even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. That's their talk. 25, thus said the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then not them casting, they don't have the power, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. What? What? Maybe I read that too fast for you. Watch it again. Then it says, if they can address the issue of my covenant with day and night, if they can number the firmament, the heavens, and number the soil in the earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. God cannot help himself. He said, even if you did that and I was going to do that, no, I will have mercy. Come on. Come on. God says, even if I should do that, I will have mercy. Because you can't change it. Merciful God. Faithful, loving God. He is God and he loves you. And I want you today to stop beating yourself up and cry out unto God and say, God of covenant, have mercy. Have mercy. You may have messed up. You may have done all the wrong things, but God is a merciful God. You can still call unto God. Mercy for triumph over judgment. God says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you. You see, part of the covenant of God is that he blesses you beyond measure. Blesses me. And how God does that is not based on my hard work, because hard work only produces less than what it should produce. It's not about working hard. It's about working blessed. Being blessed. And in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. I want you to step into that place and say, God, I am in the place of blessing. Bless me. I am in the place of multiplying. Multiply me. Will you do that right now, right where you are? So, God, I am standing in blessing. Bless me. I'm standing in the place of multiplication. Multiply me, increase me on every side, beyond measure. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. There is no one like you. He says, I'm going to establish my covenant. How is God going to do it? By first of all, placing into us a reverential fear of God. Come with me to Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. He says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Are you part of the them? Amen. I am part of the them. That I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts. Why? That they shall not depart from me. Why is that important? That God puts into us his fear, the heart to honor and to be reverential towards them. Why is that? I'll tell you why. In Psalm 34, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 and then verse 11 through 15. In Psalm 34, verse 9, Psalm 34, verse 9. It says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints. Why? For there is no one to them that fear him. Those that fear God do not have wants. He says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Who are the people that seek the Lord? People who have a fear, reverential fear of God. They seek after God. Take me to verse 11. Hallelujah. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. But what is this fear of the Lord going to look like? He tells us. What man is he that desireth life? We're talking about the covenant of God. And this is how it's going to be made manifest. First of all, you have to have the fear of God, a reverential fear of God. And it says, what man is he that desireth life? You desire life and loveth many days, that he may see good, which is what God has promised you and I. He says, do this, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Truth that is not the truth. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15. Why? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Do you want God to respond to you? Well, let God take charge of your tongue. What you're saying? You know, most people know how to speak nonsense out of their mouth. Remember, Adam called her name Eve, for she is the mother of all living, a life giver. But they had not seen children. But his mouth spoke prophetically what is to be. You need to speak your future into place and stop confirming your fears. God's eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Hallelujah. Peter restates that same statement. Exactly, verbatim. God wants to establish his covenant. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But with thee, I will establish my covenant. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to me. And he's saying, with you, I am going to establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons and wives with thee. This is God's covenant statement for families. And he says, I will save you and your entire household. Obedience to the word of God brings about the fulfillment of the word. Was God going to destroy the earth? Yeah. So what did he say to Noah to do? Build me an ark. I'm going to make a covenant with you. My covenant with you is to save you. Disaster is coming upon the earth. Build an ark. What is an ark? These are the measurements. This is what you need to do. And so he's building something that he has never seen before. Why is he building it? And where is he building it? He's building it on the land. How long is he doing it? For 50 years? No. 60 years? No. 70? No. 100? No. 110? No. For 120 years, he's building this thing. And God fills this ark with life, different animals and whatever else. How God did all of that, I don't know. But everything that he needed were in that ark. And then God put him into that ark and his family. And God shut them in. God shut them in. Not man. God shut them in. And at the fullness of time, God brought them out. Amen? Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And that covenant statement is, I'm going to save you and save your entire household. Receive that. Amen? Chapter 17 and verse 7. Let me begin to wrap this. 17 and verse 7. Genesis 17, 7. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God is now going the next generation. He says, not only am I making a covenant with you, I'm going to make a covenant with your children and your children's children for generations. Hallelujah. What is the covenant going to be? That I'm going to be God to them. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be God to them. And God to your children and your children's children. Praise the Lord. That's a covenant statement. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 9. Leviticus 26 and verse 9. He says, for I will have respect unto you. This is God who says, I have no respect for nobody. God says, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful. Hallelujah. I'm going to make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. That's a commitment. I'm going to make you fruitful and multiply you. And establish my covenant with you. This covenant is a covenant of fruitfulness and multiplication. It's covenant of that sphere. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And I'm going to leave some of the food for next time. It says here, for thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Watch this. For it is he that giveth thee power, gives you the force, gives you the army, gives you the resources, the wisdom, the insight, the knowledge, the understanding, whatever it is that you need to have. It is he that giveth thee power to get. Power to get wealth. Why? Why do you want to give me power to get wealth? That he may establish his covenant. So when God says, I want to establish my covenant, he's saying, I want to make you also wealthy. That he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. As it is this day. What does that mean? It means tomorrow will be this day. Next week will be this day. In other words, God is saying, I have made a covenant to give you the resources, the power, the ability, the army, the angelic support, the destiny helpers, whatever it is that you need, so that you can get wealth. So you and I can get wealth. So that his word, his covenant is established. We need that to confirm that we're covenant people, but we also need that to bring the message to the masses so that the covenant of God is made with them. Say with me, I must be wealthy. I have no choice but to be wealthy. Because wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. And I am righteous. I'm a covenant person. And my future is bright. My future is now. This day, I am blessed and highly favored. Me and my household. Me and the people God has given me care over. My influence is reaching to the ends of the earth to glorify the exalted God forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful that God has privileged me once again to share the word of God with you. I did not finish, but I'm done for now. And as the Lord leads, we'll continue to share the principles of the word of God. I trust that in the message that you received today, that there were many things that were triggered inside of you. And one simple fact I want you to understand and get is this. God is a merciful God, and He has qualified you to be part of His covenant. Receive that and be blessed of the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, let us honor God with our giving as covenant people, believing that we are blessed of the Lord. Let us give from that position of blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. God is increasing you this very moment. So trust Him. Just trust Him today with your giving. You are watching. Don't procrastinate. The Lord was speaking to me about that this morning. About people that are procrastinating. Oh, I'm going to write that check later, and you've not done it for weeks. This very moment, if you're here in Canada, you can do an e-transfer right there from the computer that you are watching from right this very moment. From your phone, you can do it right now. Don't procrastinate. As I'm going to do it later. Right now, honor God with your giving. Do it. And God will increase you. For years I've taught the word of God about the power of giving and the increase that is due. And child of God, I can boldly say to you right this very moment that I've continued to push it. More so this year with my giving. And I can tell you that I have more now than I used to have when I gave less. I don't understand it other than it's the word of God. So I keep on pushing it in obedience to the word of God. Not only for us as a family, but even as a ministry, as a church. We've given more out this year than we have in many years prior. And I believe that God will increase you and I supernaturally. And we have not taken a dime from the government, because our mouth is not going to be shut. Yeah. And the government has given out lots of money to churches. I think they said with 40,000 or something like that. And then 10, 12, 25, and so on and so forth. Then, well, what is the cost of placing your faith in man? It's too costly. So place our faith in God. I'm believing God to bless you beyond measure. Hallelujah. You know, I was getting ready for service this morning, and a crazy thought just came across my mind. I was thinking, and I could see it, that, and thank you very much for all of your birthday greetings and gifts and all of that. And I was thanking God, and for Mother's Day. And I was thanking God for everyone that has sown and given into our lives and stuff like that. And all of a sudden I saw it. That we're doing a celebration and I received keys. Brand new vehicles lined up in the front of the building. I said, oh, for that to happen, the people of God have been blessed. Glory be to God. The blessing of God is going to pursue after you and overtake you. Just dare to believe God. Stop thinking, you know, Mickey Mouse. Even Mickey Mouse is so wealthy. Eh? Mickey Mouse is big. So that's not a very good description. But you understand what I mean. Don't be thinking small. Just honor God. Do you know that God's word says, test me in this. Check me out. There's one place God says, check me out. Check me out in this. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. When the blessing is on you, favor is on you. Things are going to start falling into place that you didn't plan on. Help comes to you from every direction. Child of God, just believe God today as you honor him with your giving. All right? I know I spent much time talking about it. But I need to just encourage those that are not doing what they should do. You are struggling too much. Struggling. Make your life easy. Trust God. Just check him out. He said, do it. So open to Malachi and say, God, you said it right here. You said it. So I'm going to test and check this out. In Psalm 34, you said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, I'm going to taste this. Amen? Praise the Lord. While you're honoring God with that, we're going to have the meetings that we're going to be starting next week, the spiritual reset meetings. We're going to have that played, and then Mama is going to come, and we're going to share in communion together. All right, let us receive the word. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I trust that God has already started the work of reset in your life and in mine. And greater things are happening for us right now. We give God praise. He says, whenever you take of this body, do it in remembrance of me. We take of this body and we eat. And may God's healing power be released into every area of your life. Let transformation take place in every area. May God be exalted in your life, in your family, in your calling, in your purpose, in your destiny. May all that God has for you come to you. Take off this body and eat in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
The blood covenant. In this blood covenant, it says a cup of blessings. They do this in remembrance of him. As you take of this blood this morning, may the blood of Jesus become your blood.
Amen.
If you have a low blood count, your blood can change.
Amen.
If you are troubled by the demonic realm, that blood will stop those demons. No evil shall come near your dwelling. The boundary of blood surrounds you. The circle of the blood of Jesus, Ephes Damin, is around you right now. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When the enemy sees you, we only see the blood of Jesus, and he knows he cannot cross that line. May you and your family be covered with the blood of Jesus. When COVID sees you, they will go. When cancer sees you, they will go. When arthritis sees you, they will go. When pain sees you, they will go. When diabetes sees you, they will go. When heart disease sees you, they will go. When blood pressure sees you, they will go. Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, when mental problems sees you, they will go. Forgiveness and Lolo Land leaves you now. Clarity comes. Clarity of vision. Healthy blood. Healthy cells, healthy bones. He said, none of your bones will be broken. They will be fat and flourishing, strong in the Lord, supernatural strength, supernatural provision, wealth and riches are in your house. The enemy cannot eat you anymore as a dust. You are not a dust for the enemy. You are the temple of the living God. Be healed, be restored. Be made whole, spirit, soul, and body, and in your substance and in your finance. In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Praise the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the loving kindness of God, the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all, causing us to prosper in all we do, in our going out and now coming in. For this day we declare, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. We'll look forward to worshiping with you again tonight, as we continue our series on destiny helpers. Be blessed and be highly favored.
Shalom.
See you. Shalom. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's say hello to the saints.